ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Donald Trump and Republican rival Nikki Haley praising today's unanimous Supreme Court ruling. It struck down state efforts to ban him from the ballot, citing an insurrection clause in the 14th Amendment. Haley in Spring, Texas.
I'll defeat Donald Trump fair and square, but I want him on that ballot.
A UN report says that there are reasonable grounds to believe Hamas committed rape and sexual torture of Israeli women. One holdout is keeping a Gaza ceasefire deal from happening. Hamas, says State Department spokesperson Matt Miller.
A deal is on the table, a deal that would bring the hostages home and that would alleviate the terrible suffering of the Palestinian people. Hamas should accept it immediately.
The first non-prescription birth control pill will be available in U.S. stores later this month. The brand name is Opill, made by Perrigo. 3 months supply, $50, also available online. This is ABC News. More snow is on its way in parts of the West, giving those trapped in feet of snow little time to dig out and get out.
With snowplow drivers hard at work, today is a day those trapped under 7 feet of snow in the Truckee area are trying to get out. Over the weekend, up to 300 vehicles got stuck in a blizzard on Donner Pass. California Highway Patrol Officer Eric Strecker went car to car helping people get out.
This is Donner Pass, the whole story about the Donner Party. There's a reason that that happened up here.
Officers have been driving people to get food and supplies in their patrol cars, calling it their black and white Uber service. Alex Stone, ABC News.
JetBlue and Spirit Airlines have scrapped a merger plan after losing an antitrust lawsuit. Police in New Orleans looking for whomever cut down a utility pole with a chainsaw and left the saw stuck in the pole. Knocked out power to 8,000 customers. Most of the power has been restored now. Wall Street major indexes closed modestly lower. The S&P 500 lost 6 points. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder, metamorphosis, loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the Punching Bag or the Patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Punching Bag, Pete Schwabba.
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now? Is to take a Kringle and go away.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
A good day for Brewer batters. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers beat the Arizona Diamondbacks in Cactus League action. The final score 10-4. Willie Adames with a home run. Christian Yelich with two hits, two RBI. On how the team looks so far.
I think we're a really young team. We have a lot of young players. A lot of guys that have been around here for a while have kind of moved on or gone a different direction. Yeah, I think we'll go as far this year as the young guys take us.
The Brewers face the Giants tomorrow. NBA. Bucks play the Clippers before heading out on a 4-game road trip. College hoops. Iowa's Caitlin Clark, now the all-time leading scorer in Division I basketball, surpassing Pistol Pete Maravich with a record 3,667 points that lasted 54 years. The Badgers losing to Illinois, 91-83. Wisconsin has lost 7 of their last 9. Greg Gard.
We play good basketball at times, but we're inconsistent. As I always say, when guys come off the bench, we can't go backwards.
That's Badgers head coach Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. turning mostly clear tonight, low in the low 20s. And for tomorrow, mostly sunny, a little warmer, highs in the mid-40s. And more sunshine for Wednesday, into the upper 40s for a high. Thursday looks mostly cloudy, a slight shower chance, and a high around 50 degrees. It's 39 right now.
Hi, I'm Maggie Dawn, host of The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays at 2 on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media's Southeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief.
Stuart and I will be hosting special coverage of President Biden's State of the Union speech Thursday night at 8.
We'll, of course, present what the president says, the Republican response, and also talk about what it all means for you.
This will be one of the most important speeches from the president in this critical election year.
This Thursday night at 8 across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey everybody, it's Todd Alba. On Super Tuesday, noon to 2, we'll preview the primaries and also take on alternate side parking right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Welcome, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Monday night, March 4th, the number's 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Brand new week, Johnny Lupinacci. Busted Pencils, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I just thought I'd remind everybody in case they're out and nobody forgot, but every night this week, it's us. It's Busted Pencils. It's Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, Dr. Tim Slecker, Anya in the house, holding everything down, making sure that everything flows right. And of course, lots of guests. Great week we have coming up.
Yeah,
this week,
we got a great week, man. It's going to be awesome. And you know, last week was a great week and there were a few little hiccups here or there because as our listeners know, like, man, every community that listens to us or that we're in is dealing with some form of the flu or there's all kinds of sicknesses running through. So we're bouncing back and hopefully everyone's healthy this week and it's smooth. And we had to reschedule a guest from last week that I'm super stoked about. And I know our listeners are too, Tim, because every time we have this guy on, he drops some kind of big knowledge bomb on all of us that helps and has helped so many school leaders out there navigate some of the political issues that really should be non-issues, right? Yeah. And so I'm excited to have our guest tonight rescheduled from last week.
Exactly.
And I mean, let's without any further ado, let's introduce this guy so we can get rolling.
Hey, man, it's, you know, it's a, we claim him. He's our own astrophysicist. I mean, you know, we pay him, well, you know, we.
Big bucks.
Big kudos. Dr. Ethan Siegel, there he is, starts with a bang. Check out his blog. Check out and follow him on Twitter. Ethan, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me. You know, last week worked the way it worked out, but I'm here now, and that's all that matters. So let's make it a good one.
Yeah, we're going to make it a good one. So, you know, we're going to jump right into this. So in Wisconsin, particularly, the legislature there is raising the alarm among science education groups. AB, that would be Assembly Bill 510, a parental rights bill, would allow parents to opt children out of classes or instructional material based on religious or personal conviction, require timely notice when a controversial subject will be taught or discussed, and allow parents or guardians to sue a school, district, or a teacher if they believe the school has failed to apply the law. Ethan, not astrophysics, but science. What do you think about Wisconsin's Parental Bill of Rights?
You know, in Wisconsin is it's a personal state to me because it was my first, where I had my first job after I graduated from grad school. It's where I met my now spouse. Wisconsin was a great state to me. I loved living in Madison and I had a wonderful time there. This is, you know, this is a difficult topic, right? If you're a parent and you hear my kid is learning something in school that offends your sensibilities, you're like, oh my goodness, why is my kid learning that? Mm-hmm. This could be about sex education. It could be about gay rights, marriage rights, trans rights. It could be about evolution. It could be about any number of topics that offend your sensibilities. And I would say to everyone listening out there, this is exactly the purpose of public education. The purpose of public education is that when you're going to go out into the world as a young adult, having completed your school, you have to at least know this much to be a functional human being in the world. Even if your parents don't want you to know it, even if your relatives don't believe it, even if this conflicts with what you learn in church or at home or anywhere else in the world, this is part of what you need to know about what is true and what is correct in the United States of America at the present time to go out into the world. The idea that you as a parent can opt your kid out of society, out of education, out of, I was talking earlier about vaccines. Look, you can do whatever you want as a parent. But the idea that you can opt your kid out of a public education and still give the kid a public education, like, no, that diploma means you got a public education. You graduated from this school. You have to go through the whole school for that. I'm sorry, Wisconsin parents, but your assembly bill is against the spirit of education itself.
Look at Johnny Lupinacci, man. Is just nodding. Go for it, Johnny.
No, man, I love it. I mean, we have, you know, Ethan here explaining it in such accessible ways. Like, it's matter of fact. There's an important aspect that public education brings. I mean, last week we were celebrating public education in Wisconsin, right? It was a week of celebrating it. And this is, like Ethan just summarized, the great thing that education provides in a democracy, like in this sense that kids are learning based on the best information we have for humanity. That is sort of the public promise, sort of like the oath. If teachers were taking an oath like doctors do, you know, to do no harm, is they're taking an oath to, you know, exactly what Ethan explained here, provide the kind of education that is based on the best information out there and that helps them be prepared for a complex world where they're the decision makers, right? That they've dealt with controversy, that they understand the importance of things like we brought it up in past shows. Ethan, you know, really empowered us with this concept. And I know it's helped a lot of school leaders out there have testimony of it, but the idea of scientific consensus, the importance of that and being weary of and aware of the danger of giving equal time to the false equivalency. And so, you know, these are the kinds of things where Ethan comes on, he reminds us so clearly, like, this is the beauty of having public education. Like, it's an important thing that we unfortunately have to defend and make defense for.
I wonder,
you always go have ahead, to Ethan. Defend this when it comes to, you talk about rights. You know, if I go to the supermarket and I go to the meat counter and I say, like, hey, give me a 1-inch thick cut of your T-bone steak. And the guy behind the meat counter takes a look at me and says, no, look at you. You're fat. You're a heart attack risk. I'm not giving you this red meat. Like, I don't think I would say, like, can you please give me someone who works here who understands their job? Right? Because I'm going to buy this slab of meat. It's my right as a customer to buy the slab of meat. It's the same thing if I go to the doctor and say, oh man, I just had dental surgery and I need these painkillers. And the pharmacist looks at the prescription and goes, oh no, this is for an opioid. You might get addicted. I'm afraid of that. So I'm not going to give you your medicine. I'll be like, can you get me a real pharmacist? Well, same thing. If you go and you tell me, you know, oh, well, I'm going to public school. Don't teach me about the things that are going to offend my parents. No, absolutely not. Your parents should not be allowed to opt you out of correct information. You want to go to a different school where you go to, you know, where you go to, you know, Miss Mary Hill's, you know, false information elementary, go ahead. But in the real world, you need to arm kids with correct information so that they can go out in the world and be functional members of society, right? You tell kids you want to make the plants grow, pour water on them. You don't have equal time to someone who says, hey, you want to make the plants grow, pour salt on them. That'll make the No, that's not true. Don't listen to that. Don't teach that. Keep that out of your classroom. At the same time, keep the correct information in your classroom. You parent, you want to opt out of the whole system. You don't belong.
There it is. The number 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Our guest, Dr. Ethan Siegel, we are talking about a parental bill of rights, and it's in Wisconsin. But you know what? There are 17 other states right now in the country that are also putting out some form of a parental bill of rights, looking at particularly in Wisconsin, the science education. While the bill AB 510 does not specifically single out science education, science educators are worried because, well, as you said, Ethan, you know, being able to opt your child out of things like evolution, climate change, or anything that as a parent, this is the other part I think about this. If you're a parent and you're offended by that, can you just give your kid an opportunity to give them a chance to maybe learn something or push forward? Ethan, I would have some people potentially, though, taking this topic and going, hey, parents always have the authority to educate their kids to make those decisions. Ethan, what's the problem with, you know, opting out? Hey, the rest of the kids are free to learn whatever they want to learn, but me as a parent, I'm saying, you know what, when it comes to talking about dinosaurs, I like my dinosaurs and people hanging out together 6,000 years ago because that's the way it is. And I don't want them to hear anything like that. You know, are we saying, because there's a sense or a tone potentially, I'm not saying I disagree with you, but of saying, no, there shouldn't even be an opt-out allowed.
You know, people are going to make whatever rules they're going to make. But what I want to look at is what's in the best interest of the child. Does the parent have the child's best interest in mind when they say, I want to opt my child out of this controversial topic? I say, no, we don't let parents opt children out of learning that racism is bad. We don't opt parents out of saying, like, well, I don't want my kid to learn that the United States was a slave-holding nation. We don't allow parents to opt kids out of, well, reading and writing is against my religious teachings. No, I'm sorry. If these things are your values, your kid still has to go to public school and learn all the things you need to learn in public school. And if you don't agree with that, don't enroll your kid in public school at all.
Straight up, there is our guest, Ethan Siegel. Busted Pencils, you know, our own astrophysicist. The number, 844-967-2789. We're looking at parental bills of rights across the country, in Wisconsin very specifically. Assembly Bill 510 is saying parents, they have the right to opt their children out of controversial or things that they just don't really think their kids should be allowed to learn, should ever be there. Ethan Siegel, Johnny Lupinacci, Tim Slicker on you. We're all here kind of chewing it up and saying, let's reconsider potentially. When we get back, though, looking for your phone calls, 844-967-2789. Busted Pencils, back in a second.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Most of us can agree we should have the freedom to make our own medical decisions. Politicians should have no role at all. But not California mega millionaire Eric Hovde. Hovde said, I am totally opposed to abortion and I'm 100% pro-life. And he supported overturning Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights. Hovde's been supported by Wisconsin Right to Life, an extreme anti-abortion group that supports banning abortion, even in cases of rape and incest, and threatens doctors and nurses with criminal charges for providing abortion care. With views like that, Hovde could be a crucial vote in favor of a national abortion ban. letting politicians decide what's right for women. Call Eric Hovde at his California office at 714-730-4444. Tell him his position on abortion is dangerous for Wisconsin women. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
I love it when I find a flower growing at my feet. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators, talking education. The number's 844-967-2789. Parental bills of rights are out there. And Steven from Green Bay is calling us. Ethan, before we jump into it, though, we got to go to Steven. Steven, what's happening, our friend?
Hello, guys. What is your guest's name again?
Ethan Siegel.
Okay. Ethan, I'm speaking straight to you. I'm fired up on this topic. And first of all, so you're not too scared over there, I agree 100% with everything you said. But I'm going to take it one step further. And I'm going to say, not only if you're too sensitive to have your kids learn actual factual information, your kids shouldn't be in public school, but I'm going to take it one step further and tell the public schools to stop sugarcoating the information that we're giving our kids. Thanksgiving was not the Indians and the white people sitting around a table, being merry, eating turkey together. It was white people coming into native lands and saying, guess what? This is ours. You don't like it? Too bad. And that's the reality of it. We have to,
you know,
stop.
Steven, one of the things I really like about what you're saying is there's this idea that if something is challenging, too challenging for a student, for their parents, for the environment they're going to go home to, that they shouldn't be exposed to it. And I think that's the wrong idea. Like the idea that you want to protect the kids is a good instinct, but the idea that that's a good way to protect kids is completely wrongheaded. When you think about your own education, Johnny, Tim, myself, when we think about our own education, when did we learn the most? Was it from something that already agreed with our preconceptions and that already was just completely in line with what we already thought and were taught? Or was it the things that we learned that it was like, oh, I didn't know that's how it was. I had never been exposed to that idea before, right? That's where education actually takes place. That's where learning takes place. You can't allow some parent or some other adult who isn't even related to the kid in school to take that opportunity away from them.
Open learning opportunities. Just think about that. Steven from Green Bay, you got another comment there, or are you gonna let you go to bed, man?
Yeah, I do have another comment.
Okay.
Actually, I was going on a little raid, and Anya told me to settle down a little bit. So I've gotten to settle down. So I'm just very passionate about this because I was in public school, and public school didn't serve me well learning about my history. I had to learn a lot of it on my own as an adult. And a lot of the history that I did learn in school, I found out A, was either completely fabricated, or B, sugar-coated to the point where it didn't really teach me anything, and it gave me the completely wrong and opposite idea of what actually happened. And so when I learned as an adult, I was appalled. I was like, wait a minute, you mean the Indians and the white people weren't friends? It's just, and I'm not the only one. So.
No, you're not Ethan. I mean, Ethan, what do you, I know Steven's really going on about history, but the idea of knowledge, right? And the fact that I think what Steven talks about too, and I've heard this from lots of my students, particularly around this area, you know, because Johnny and I do a lot of social studies teaching, is that when they learn of these things for the first time, you hear what Steven is saying, this kind of like, wait a minute, why wasn't I informed? Why wasn't this taught to me? Now, though, it's kind of like with science, there's, you know, it's like a new attempt on science, because it's like some of these things, these aren't controversial historical types of, you know, potentially open for interpretation things. You know, people are like, climate change, the science not, you know, is it close? Wait a minute. What do you mean the science isn't done on that? Ethan, you know, the idea, too, that you would potentially keep knowledge away from somebody to the point where they then find out later, and even to the point and feel like, wait a minute, what else wasn't taught to me then as I was growing up? I wonder if that we worry there, too, about potentially setting kids up to go, they become kind of cynical and saying, well, then I don't believe anything.
You know, you've got to remember that there is such a thing as truth out there. There are such things as facts out there. And we don't do anyone any favors anytime we try and shield them from it. Yeah, some of those things are harsh. I remember as a Jewish kid growing up, I read this book about, you know, it was a first person story by someone who was a former slave in the 1850s and 1860s. And she talked about how her family got sold from one family to another. And she was optimistic because this new family she got sold to was a Jewish family. And she thought, well, the Jews had been slaves once in Egypt, so maybe my new owners would be sympathetic to me and wouldn't treat me as bad as my old owners did. And I thought, oh, wouldn't that be nice if that was what happened? No, that wasn't what happened. Mm-hmm. She got treated just as badly by the Jewish slave owners as she did by her Christian slave owners beforehand. And I was like, oh, like, that made me uncomfortable. And then it made me ask myself those difficult questions. What kind of person would I have been if I had lived back then? Would I have been a bad slave owner? Would I have been a good slave owner? Would I have been a non-slave owner? Would I have been someone who was an abolitionist, right? You got to ask yourself those difficult kind of questions, and you can't. You lose out on the opportunity to ask yourselves those kinds of questions if someone else shields you from even entertaining those ideas.
Luke Benacci, man, your head is going crazy there.
I mean, I love it. I love it because, of course, we all vibe on a similar frequency here. But
yeah, I know.
I love Stephen's call because, you know, Stephen reminds me too, and it's so important. And come back to it that educators, public educators especially, but I would push even further to say most educators, you know, come into teaching with that interest of wanting to provide, you know, what Ethan's sharing is like truths or facts or the best to our humanity's knowledge to prepare people for the future ahead of them. And, you know, and so Stephen brings up this thing I don't think any educator out there wants to be guilty of is disinformation. You know, some of us have taught things that were wrong, and I'll call that misinformation, right? Like we got it wrong. Either the information wasn't there or we didn't have it right. And we kind of teach to the best of our knowledge. Well, teachers have also, like if you're a history teacher, you've studied history and you're teaching history. If you're a math teacher, you studied mathematics and you have an expert knowledge that you're sharing and providing learning opportunity for young people, and you're teaching from the best of the mathematical knowledge. And as a science teacher, I remember the change in the world around plate tectonics. Mm-hmm. And I remember as science was telling us more about the world and sort of the earth's sort of geological formations and things that I had looked back and thought, well, at one point I was teaching information that is no longer the best information. And so with that knowledge, I have the responsibility as an educator to say, hey, I know better now. This is what scientific consensus is teaching. And let me shift and change to provide the best information forward. And it meant sort of reconciling that. I didn't dig in and say, I'm going to teach this because this is the way I learned it, or this is what I believe. I went with that, making sure the best information was taught.
Busted Pencils, back in a minute.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Volunteers from all over Wisconsin are joining the search for missing 3-year-old Elijah Vu in the Manitowoc area. He was last reported seen on February 20th. Two Rivers police say they focused search efforts on rural areas in Manitowoc County this weekend. Time is running out for now for state lawmakers to help people in Wisconsin whose water supplies are polluted with PFAS chemicals. State Senate Democratic Minority Leader Dianne Hesselbein says it appears Governor Evers and Republicans are still too far apart on state regulatory powers.
I don't know if we're going to get there yet, but at a bottom line, they should be releasing the $125 million they have to help combat so people can turn on their taps and have clean drinking water.
Hesselbein at a WisPolitics luncheon last week. The legislative session is winding down. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. A reckless homicide case was settled in Burnett County on Friday. Danielle Rodriguez pleaded guilty to second-degree reckless homicide after other charges were dismissed. Rodriguez and Shane Bearhart allegedly snuck a substance containing fentanyl into the county jail, leading to the overdose death of an inmate. Rodriguez was sentenced to 5 years in prison and 7 years of extended supervision and is eligible for an early release if she completes a substance abuse program. The case against Bearhart remains open. St. Luke's and Aspirus Health have announced they have officially combined. According to a press release, the system will now operate 19 hospitals and 130 outpatient locations with over 15,000 employees across Wisconsin, Minnesota, and the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. The organizations announced their plans to affiliate over the summer. In the press release, Aspirus committed to honoring St. Luke's contracts and invest at least $300 million into St. Luke's strategic projects. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Green Bay is a fine town, but I'm just telling you, you're better off to take a horse. Don't drive in Green Bay, and for God's sake, don't get a parking ticket. So how about this? We find out how much revenue does Green Bay get from parking tickets, and we say that the Packers are going to donate that, and we're going to have free parking in Green Bay. How about that? Todd for mayor of Green Bay.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. If the music to Beyoncé's new country song, Texas Hold'em, sounds familiar, it might be because you were a fan of the cartoon Franklin growing up. Some fans thought the singer sampled the show's music, which probably had professional samplers Vanilla Ice and Kid Rock jealous. Social mediaites were all over the spectrum, with some implying theft and some saying there's only a vague similarity. Franklin theme song composer Bruce Coburn weighed in, saying that the song shares only a similarity in rhythmic feel, but that it's all Beyoncé's. The song made Beyoncé the first ever black woman to reach the top of the country charts. Joyce Lipinski, widow of Richard Lewis, took to social media to thank fans on Twix for the loving tributes to her hilarious husband who passed away last week. Deadline reported that Lipinski encouraged those who miss her husband to honor him by donating to his charity, ComedyGivesBack.com. Lewis will be missed. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Turning mostly clear tonight, low in the low 20s. And for tomorrow, mostly sunny, a little warmer, highs in the mid-40s. And more sunshine for Wednesday, into the upper 40s for a high. Thursday looks mostly cloudy, a slight shower chance, and a high around 50 degrees. Currently, it's 37.
Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now? Is to take a Kringle and go away.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Busted pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. The number is 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. our guest, Dr. Ethan Siegel, talking about the Parental Bill of Rights in Wisconsin, AB 510, which could have an effect on science educators. Stephen called the first part of the show. We've got caller Joanne from Madison. Joanne, how are you, our friend?
I'm having a great time, great conversation. I'm wondering about the fact that most U.S. textbooks say that the United States landed people on the moon in the 1960s and early 70s, and today a lot of people say not, maybe not so much. And there are some folks who are really adamant about this as well, some students and some parents who maybe would like to rip that page out of the textbook. And I'm just wondering, since we have someone who is so well-versed in the stars and the planets and all of that on the program, how would you deal with that as an intellectual issue and as a political issue? Because if we somehow admit that, hey, the U.S. didn't do that, and maybe China, as we found out yesterday on 60 Minutes, is going to be the first entity to land a human on the moon, that things could change in terms of our position in the world.
You know, this is one of those ideas that you can look at it in one of two ways. You can either look at it as the despair point of view, where you're like, oh my goodness, right? Like, this is how much we've degenerated, that it's not just like conspiracy nuts who think that, like, oh, maybe this was all faked, and that Kubrick shot it on a sound stage in the 60s. Like, this is like gone mainstream now, and my students are questioning it, and the parents are questioning it, and the mainstream media is questioning it, and it's like, instead of Tom Brokaw, we have Alex Jones, and people think that's like the real deal. Right? What do we do about that? Don't look at it that way. This is a learning opportunity. And in particular, it's a learning opportunity in the way where you can encourage students to ask the question of, okay, now we're in a situation where we don't know what happened, right? How are we going to find out what really happened? How are we going to find out the truth? And let them lead that the same way that I do when I talk to a flat earther. You think the earth is flat. Other people say the earth is round. Well, if we didn't know and we wanted to find out for sure, what would we do? What would we do to find out? And when it comes to things like, did we land on the moon? You know, you can ask questions about the technology we had at the time and the CGI we had at the time and the ability of, like, the technology to produce the things we had at a time. But you can also say, well, if we were there, shouldn't we have evidence that we were there? Shouldn't we have evidence of, like, samples that were returned to Earth? Shouldn't we have evidence that the spacecraft that came back actually went to space and there's some evidence in there about it? Wouldn't there be some evidence like, if we sent orbiters up to the moon now and had them take pictures like the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter did and still does, wouldn't they be able to see these alleged landing sites and see if there's evidence like equipment on the moon and footprints that are still there on the moon? Because if it doesn't have an atmosphere, then all of those dirt and dust that got kicked up, it should still have the same tracks there. We've done this. We've gotten that evidence. I've seen that evidence. I've shared that evidence with the world. But that whole process of, if you don't know, how do you figure it out? That's instructive. The answer is less instructive than the process. And I think that even if a student comes to you with a defiant attitude that they don't believe this thing that you're telling them is true, let them guide their own inquiry. How do you figure this out? If you don't believe it, what would tell you it is or isn't? Let me tell you, when I was in high school, I was a pain in the ass student. I can say pain in the ass, right? Sorry, Tim. I said
yes, you can. You can say the A word.
So you know, you go ahead and I was a difficult student. We had to do reports on the five senses and everyone had to pick one of the five senses. And I asked the teacher, the biology teacher, if I could instead do it on the sixth sense, if I could do it on ESP, right? And on whether or not humans had ESP and it was real and what the evidence for it was. And she said, yeah, go do it. And I had to go learn about it. What was the research on this? What was the evidence for it? What were the tests you can do? And I came to the conclusion that this was not real, but I had to figure it out for myself. But I think by doing that, the teacher, by letting me do that project, even though it wasn't part of the curriculum, let me figure that out for myself. Let me have that experience of being curious and going on that process of discovery for myself. And in a sense, I think that's more important. If someone lands on the moon and wants to know, did we land on the moon? Let them figure it out for themselves. Guide them through, like, here are some of the things you should look for, find out, and then let them take it from there. They might surprise you. They might surprise themselves.
I wonder if that's the potential, though, back to this, these parental bills of rights that are cutting across America, you know, that have, I mean, we say it's history education, science education. The potential there, Ethan, to say, okay, like, I find this topic then as a parent controversial. Are you putting out the potential of going, okay, great, it's controversial. How about, though, if you and your child go off and find out the information and bring it back to us, and we'll give you the opportunity to present the evidence that you found. I'm just thinking about people, climate science, right? Or global warming, whichever way we want to talk it, somebody's going, it's not real. I have proof that it's not real. You say, okay, I'm a good science teacher then. Kids, parents, I'm going to let you guys try to prove that then. Is that the tactic we should be taking?
You know, you can always take anything that's done well to the other extreme until it's destructive to the whole class, right? If I was the kind of person who, instead of doing my report on ESP based on what I found, if I was someone who thought, well, what that means is I'm going to go down to Santa Monica Pier and find a psychic with their crystal ball and bring them into class and have them read the tarot and the palmistry of everyone in the class, right? That's clearly me crossing the line where I'm not doing science anymore. I am doing something that is derailing the entire class. So my solution to that is empower the teacher to make a good decision. The teacher is the only adult in the room. And if you don't empower the teacher to be the adult in that room, you're going to have no adults in that room. And that is not how you get a productive class. That's how you get anarchy and chaos. And that doesn't serve any kid well. So my solution to that is let the teacher decide. Let the teacher decide and let have enough faith in this teacher, this qualified professional that you hired to go into the classroom and do their job as they see fit. Now, obviously, there are lines they can cross, right? You can't hit the kids. You can't take the kids' freedom away. You can't deny the kid lunch. You can't, like, there are basic things you can't do. Barring that, the teacher's in charge of the class, not the kids, not the kids' parents. Why is that such a hard concept?
It's not a hard concept. Wisconsin, get with it. Busted Pencils. The number is 844-967-2789. It's Educated Educators Talking Education. Our guest, Dr. Ethan Siegel. We're looking at parental bills of rights and their effect on science education. You know what, though, Ethan? Take this a twist, because I love the idea of empowering teachers. Because if there's anything we're always doing on the show is trying to lift up teachers. And right now, teachers need every form of saying, you got this. You know what you're doing. I hear, though, that sometimes these types of legislation, while it's never really going to be enforced, The reality is, though, is that they never thought it would be enforced. It's the effect that it actually has on teachers who go out and then go, you know what? I don't think I'm going to teach so much of this topic because I don't want to, as it said, I could potentially be fired or sued by a parent, a chilling effect. You know, the reality is that this legislation can't ever be enforced, but it didn't really matter because it already does the damage because of the great science teachers that are out there. It gives them a sense of caution about how they approach these topics in the future. And, you know, I know, how do we lift them up? But how do you help a teacher go, but I know what I know, and I know that these things are right, but I also know that these people are going to come after me. It's a dilemma.
You know, it is a dilemma, right? And this isn't true not just of teachers. This is true of anyone who has a job where you're worried that if you do your job the way you know is the right way to do it, that you're going to face negative consequences. You're going to be demoted, have your pay docked, maybe get fired. And if that's the world you live in, if that's your day-to-day world, I have to say, like, you might want to consider that this job is not right for you, whether that means you're in the wrong school, whether that means you're in the wrong state, whether that means you're in the wrong profession entirely. It might mean those things. But no one should have a job like that where you've gone out, you've gotten the expertise, and then you're afraid to actually use what you know to the best of your knowledge. No, you didn't gather these skills with your life and become the person you are, right? And if you're a teacher, that's an educated, compassionate, passionate person, right? You're not going to sacrifice that for the fear that some irate parent or some ridiculous board of education or some ridiculous, like, overly zealous administrator is going to fire you. If they're going to fire you because you're committed to excellence, most of the people I know would say, no, I'm committed to excellence. And if you're going to get rid of me for that, that's your loss. That's the kid's loss. That's the school's loss. And I'm going to go and take my talents elsewhere where they're going to be appreciated.
Look at producer Anya there, right there. Producer Anya, that's exactly why I left teaching, forced the sugar. Anya, jump. So that was the biggest, that was it, huh?
Well, I'll be quick. I'm coming up on 1 year of having left education. I left education mid-March of last year, and it has, one, done wonders for my health, my mental and physical health. But the last straw for me was I was teaching Jewish geography. This was a religious school, Wednesday night, Sunday morning thing. And I had questions about Russia from my third graders and questions about what's this thing called the Soviet Union? Why do you say that when you mean Russia? And I had to try to explain what was the Soviet Union. I sugarcoated it quite a lot. One, because they were third graders, and two, because I'd been getting a lot of negative feedback in that way. I said the Soviet Union was a place. We'd now consider it a bunch of countries. Their leadership made some poor decisions that led to a lot of people getting hurt. So that's why there are these kinds of refugees today. It's Russia. And I was told that statement that I just gave you was entirely too harsh on the Soviet state, and that what I said was like drastically out of line. So I left, because if I couldn't say that the Soviet Union was something we'd consider to be a bunch of different countries whose leadership made a lot of bad choices that got people hurt, and that's considered too harsh, what can I say? So that's why I left. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, good for you, Anya, for leaving, because that's the sort of environment where constructive learning cannot take place. I mean, when you have the president at our time, when the Soviet Union was crumbling in the 80s, called the Soviet Union the evil empire. That was the word everyone who grew up in the 80s learned, because that was what President Reagan called them for 8 years. If you can't say, well, it's a lot of different countries now and they made a lot of bad decisions, they're not really interested in learning what is true. And that's not an environment for a teacher with any sort of scruples.
Ethan Siegel, he's our guest. Ethan, 20 seconds. Where can people find everything else that Ethan Siegel's up to? Starts with a bang.
Starts with a bang is my deal. I write 5 articles a week on bigthink.com.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show. You need skill and a little luck to play the game of pool, and you could say one cue-making company in Wisconsin has both. Schmelke Cues in Rice Lake is the oldest pool cue maker in the U.S. and remains a family-owned, third-generation operated business. Schmelke started as a one-man shop in the 1940s. Now more than 20 employees work at the facility. So do you know which state has the most cue-making manufacturers? Is it Maryland, Minnesota, Wisconsin? The answer coming up. Pool is an old game, and the cues similar to the ones used to play today were created in the late 1600s in Northern Europe. Pool came to America in the 19th century. So did you guess which state currently has four of the top five cue manufacturers? It is Wisconsin. And Schmelke Cues in Rice Lake has also been inducted into the International Cue Makers Hall of Fame, making this a worldwide slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Oh, come on. That's what we always want to do. We want to talk about it. It's Busted Pencils. It's fully leaded education talk, though. Educated educators talking education. The number is 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Dr. Ethan Siegel is in the house. Johnny, dropping, you know, I mean.
Walks the talk, walks the walk. I mean, he is, you know, an ambassador of the scientific knowledge base that we keep talking about. Like, teach with the best information available. And it's guys like Ethan who help all of us decipher that information, digest it, and put it to practice. And, you know, that's democracy in action, Tim. I love it when we have the importance of, you know, information out there getting to us to help us have this conversation, you know, spark fire to it and ignite kind of the excitement around, okay, so what does it mean to teach with the best information available? And how do we do that? And so, I mean, I love having Ethan on. It's great to have him as a guest. I mean, it's a fun night. It's really good.
Yeah. Steven calling in from Green Bay, Joanne from Madison, producer Anya getting in on the show there with, you know, I mean, we bring it, you know, bringing it every, well, I was going to say every week, but every weekday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Busted Pencils. That's what we're doing. It's a parental bill of rights. Right now, we're talking very specifically about Assembly Bill 510 in the Wisconsin legislature. Hey, if you're in a different state out there, you're saying, well, we have one of those too. Yeah, you're probably right, because guess what? What's happening in Wisconsin is happening everywhere. The idea to say, hey, it's my right as a parent. I like tonight, though, Johnny, Ethan really pushed hard on saying, you know what? You don't have that right in a public school. I'm wondering how many people out there were going, ooh, really?
What's really important, and Ethan brought it up, and we can, you know, we can get into sort of the basics of the science, the learning sciences, right? And get into like that whole idea of when we're challenged, we learn. And, you know, whether we pull on different, you know, psychologists or research on this, but a real simple one, I think a lot of educators are familiar with this, the zone of proximal development and Vygotsky, right? You get kind of pushed a little bit outside of your comfort zone, not shocked or anything. We scaffold a little bit outside of there to learn new things, to practice new skills, and we get better at those things. And so our zone of comfort grows a little bit more. Our zone of what we have mastery of grows a little bit more. And then to get better or to learn more, we push outside that zone. And the educator's job is to facilitate that going outside that zone of proximal comfort into that zone of proximal development, right? Where we are malleable in learning. So we get pushed a little bit, you know, and Ethan reminded us of that importance of that being challenged. But when you come back to rights, Tim, and it's exciting because we'll have more shows where we talk about that this week and next week and have guests lined up who focus on rights, but rights get, they challenge us because sometimes we like to think of individual rights, but our rights as individuals can't supersede the rights of the common good or the rights of others. And children have rights. So most of these bills, most of these sort of these political pushes, they overlook children as having rights, right? So children have a right to a healthy education, regardless of their parents' belief systems, right? And so this gets murky, this gets controversial, pushes us all outside of our zone of comfort and into that zone of proximal development. What does it mean to consider children as having rights? Because sometimes those rights conflict with what I think my rights are as a parent or a grown-up or another person. And I often hear that as like, hey, this infringes on my free speech or on my right to say what my kid learns. And it actually does, because our individual rights sometimes are challenged, and rights don't mean we get our way all the time. They still held up against the common good and kind of this consensus on what's a healthy education. And newsflash, children have a right to it.
I like that idea to challenge people the way you just did that, Johnny. Children have rights. Okay, this is parental bill of rights. But the idea that the child sitting there, the child of the parent, and recognizing the parent going, I have a right as a parent. But the reality of going, but your child has a right in this situation specifically to learn. And your right as a parent and your child's right as a child to learn, those two things start to come into a conflict, as you just said, murky. And people, you know, like, what do we do with this? Because I could have some really great people sitting there going, you know what? I think you guys are onto something. I don't want to deny the kid's right to learn, but man, I want to honor a parent's right to bring their kid up. So, you know, how do we make sense of this? Hey, you know what though? I like where Ethan was taking us. So in a public school, in that decision, if you make the decision to go to a public school, then you are making the decision for the consensus of science, the humanity's understanding of what we know, we think we know, as being that's what's going to be taught. You don't have a right to disrupt that, because if you truly want your parental rights, you have the right to take your child out of public schools. You don't have the right to infringe on other children's rights to learn. I don't know how to say that there, Johnny.
I think really well. You summed it up well, and we'll keep digging into it because, like we said, it is controversial in terms of it's challenging. It's especially challenging for us adults because we like to be in charge. Yeah. Right? And this does say, hey, guess what? Your way might not be the way, or it might be a way. Let's acknowledge it, because you do have freedom of speech, but doesn't mean we're going to change the whole curriculum or derail, like Ethan said, derail what we're learning in class or what we know to be the best, healthiest education for all the children, for all the people. And so this is important to keep bringing up, Tim. Man, I'm glad that we're off to a bang this week with Dr. Ethan Siegel.
Yep.
And keep it rolling this week with really exciting guests. You know, tune in all week. Catch us at this time.
Yeah, we're going to have a whole heck of a lot of things going on. As you said, lots of guests. Carol Burris from the Network for Public Education coming back in the house. Educators Amplified every Wednesday. Hey, Friday too, week in review. Tomorrow night too, Johnny. Maybe a little bit of those democratic rights and maybe a civics lesson. We're starting to throw a little civics learning on civic media to all of you out there. You know, a little bit of democratic values. It's Busted Pencils. It's every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Let's go.
Check it out. See you all tomorrow night. Let's go.
From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports. Nightlight with Peach Waba.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the Punching Bag or the Patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Punching Bag, Pete Schwabba!
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Former President Trump and others praising the unanimous Supreme Court decision that struck down